in the zone to be. From a yin to my yang to see. Put a grin on my chin when you come to me. Cause I'll win, I'm a one of a kind, and I'll bring death to the place you're about to be. Another river of blood running under my feet. Forged in a fire lit long ago. Stand next to me, you'll never stand alone. I'm last to leave, but the first to go. Lord, make me death before you make me whole. I'll feed on the fear of the devil inside of the enemy faces in my sight. Aim with a hand, shoot with a mind, kill with a heart like Arctic ice. In a fire in me, like a cigarette thrown to gasoline. If death don't bring you fear, I swear you'll fear these marching feet. Come to the nightmare, come to me. Deep down in the dark where the devil be. In the mall where the jaws and the razor teeth. Where the brimstone burns and the angel weeps. Call to the gods of across your path. And my silhouette hangs like a body bag. Hope is a moment now long past. The shadow of death is the one I cast. I am a soldier.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this 90-minute live radio broadcast. Today is the ninth day of December, year 2015, and we've entitled tonight's program, Separating the Wheat from the Tares. Before we begin, we do dedicate this program to our Heavenly Father, whose name is Yahweh, or the Great I Am. We also dedicate this program to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. Few little notes here. If you wish to donate to our efforts, please go to our main website, which is byyahwehsdesign.com. And on the home page, there's a button that will give you instructions on how you can help us out. If you wish to contact me during the program, I will check my Yahoo account from time to time. And the address is BYD Pastor Dan, and that's all together, no spaces. BYDPastorDan@yahoo.com. And again, I will try to check it from time to time and see what your comment or question is. A lot of things going on, folks. It's just amazing to me, the stuff that's coming in left and right. Interestingly enough, this week I had occasion to visit relatives at a hospital, and while riding the shuttle bus, some of the people on the bus were talking to the bus driver, and it became very, very apparent that every person on that bus was sick of political correctness. Absolutely sick. And then a man got on, looked to be about 10, 15 years younger than me. He had his Air Force hat on, so I struck up a conversation. Turns out he was an electronic technician within the intelligence branch of the Air Force. I, of course, was in electronic countermeasures. So we got into a discussion and pretty much agreed that we're hosed. I mean, this country is just hosed. Washington is a complete joke. The White House is a complete joke. The media is sick beyond belief. Nothing but prostitutes and whores. And I've got an article to read to you during the broadcast here, which will further exemplify what we're talking about. But it was just interesting to see so many people who didn't even know each other just strike up a simultaneous conversation about the fact that so many things are wrong. Everybody knows it, folks. This is no mystery. All right. The question is, what do we do about it? Okay. We got lots of pontificators out there, lots of people that want you to believe they're the leaders or they have the answers. But the truth of the matter is pretty much what my father told me a long time ago. This country will not fix itself until the grassroots, meaning the grassroots people, stand up and demand a change. Now, for that to happen, you have to become a moral people again. And that's been a problem with our folks for quite some time, is we have not been a moral people. We're an amoral society, and that is causing a lot of our problems. As George Washington and all the founding fathers said, the Constitution was written for a moral people and is fit for only such. There are too many freedoms, too many liberties given for an immoral people. As we're finding out with all these aliens amongst us, typically they don't share our culture, our heritage. They don't share our beliefs. They don't share a belief in our father and his law. And therefore, they are not moral according to our code. And therefore, the Constitution is not working. Even if the politicians did try to follow it, it will not work for a polyglot nation such as we've become, an empire, if you will. It's made for a homogeneous people who share the same things that the word nation means. If you look up the word nation in an exhaustive dictionary, you will find it represents a people who live in a common area who share the following: race, religion, culture, heritage, language. If you don't have all those things in common, you're not a nation. So when we say one nation under God, it's a white nation under our Heavenly Father. And if people don't like hearing that, that's just too bad. It really is too bad. We seem to understand that a nation belonging to the race that that nation was founded by can exist for every other nation on the planet except the white nations. So if you haven't seen that there's an attack against the white people of this world, well, you're just blind or you're part of the conspiracy. So either case, you're my enemy. That's fine. You're my enemy. I don't expect you to approve of what we're doing or to understand or to go along with the solution because you're the enemy. Of course you're not. But understand that we understand that you're our enemy. All right? A lot of things going on. I happened to meet a gentleman in the hospital who turned out to be special, he said SOD, Special Operations Demolition. He was a bit younger than me. He was in the hospital for some surgery. And so he and I had an interesting conversation about where we are today. He was obviously white, of Russian descent, and it was interesting. It was interesting what he had to say, and he could have joined right in here with the conversation we're having tonight on this radio broadcast. So that tells me that of all these people that I've run into just haphazardly, and it didn't matter if it was staff, such as nurses, doctors, it didn't matter if it was patients, people on the shuttle, people in the waiting rooms, everybody I talked to said the same things. We are in very serious trouble. So now, we get to the point of the program tonight, separating the wheat from the tares. Now remember, the parable of the wheat and the tares found in the New Testament talks about the disciples said, well, we'll go and root up the tares. And what did our father tell them? He said, no, don't do that. I will bundle them together for you for the burning, meaning the destruction of the tares. I will accomplish that for you because you might root up some of the wheat, which is us, his children. So it's really an amazing parable. And like so many things in Scripture, it fits perfectly in that wheat and tares look very much alike. Okay, they look almost identical as they sprout up through the ground and grow. A stalk of wheat and a stalk of tare, or darnel, I believe it's the plant that they're referring to here as a tare. The darnel plant looks just like wheat until the fruit appears. In the case of the wheat, you have the golden grains of wheat forming at the top, and they are so heavy that the wheat bows down, so to speak. It bends over in humility and with good fruit. So, perfect example of what our Heavenly Father expects of us. It's bowed over in humility and subservience to our Heavenly Father and His will, bearing good fruit, which is our gift to our Father, as in the grain offering. Whereas the tare, the darnel plant, it's shooting straight up, just like these haughty non-whites, these aliens, especially these Jews, sticking straight up. They don't bend for anybody. Haughty, arrogant, full of themselves, and their seeds are black and toxic to human consumption. So they have obviously bad fruit, don't they? Not good for anything. Can't make it for food. It's very toxic seeds, little black seeds. So our Father said that there would be a separating of the wheat and the tares, and I'm finding it to be truer every day that goes by. He's identifying the tares for us. Their heads are sticking straight up so that the sickle blade will come through and lop them off, figuratively speaking. The wheat will be bowed down low in humility and with a heavy burden of good fruit for the world and for ourselves, whereas the tare will be haughty and sticking straight up, and therefore the sickle will come in and cut them down. So all of these things that are happening that David talked about in his program, and Andrew and Eli talk about on theirs, and Laura on hers, and the other people that are part of Eurofolk Radio, excuse me, it is an amazing thing we're witnessing. But we have to understand there is not going to be a solution to our problems coming from the political arena. It's not going to happen. The politicians are bought and paid for. The elections are rigged. It's a broken process. It will not fix itself. It doesn't matter who's running. It's just a joke. They're all players in a great big play to give you the impression that there is a solution in the political realm by you going and voting for a Republican or a Democrat, which is a complete joke. There's no difference in the two parties, none whatsoever. Not as far as what they accomplish. Their speeches are different. What they claim is their platform is different. However, in reality, it doesn't matter which of the parties is in Washington. The same thing happens over and over, because at the very top, the head of the beast, sits the Zionist, communist, Khazar Jews. That's just the facts, people. You're not going to unseat that beast with a vote. All right. Sooner or later, Jacob Israel must realize that save Yahweh coming and doing it for us, it's going to take bullets and bayonets. Simple as that. It's just simple fact of life material. Whether you like hearing it or not is really of no consequence. Bayonets and bullets are the only thing that uproot a tyrant. It has always been that way. I like the fact that David James on his program called on the generals and colonels of our military to stand up. It's time for you to stand up. And I know that the charlatan, the quack that sits in the White House, let close to 300 of our military go, some of the best men and women in our military. They need to get involved. He may have let you go, but that doesn't mean you don't have your rank and your job to do. The oath of your office, the oath that you take as a soldier, is for lifetime. So just because the bandits and criminals and traitors in Washington said that our generals, admirals, etc., were relieved of command, that doesn't mean that we, the people, have to agree. So just as the Romans in ancient times called on their generals when they got in trouble to march in and restore order, to bring about a change and allow the Senate to be filled with good people and to put down a rebellion or an invasion, so too we today, since the Romans were Israelites as well as we are, they had that as a precedent. The Greek city-states called upon the Spartans to lead in the defense of the Thracian homeland, which later became known as Greece. So we have a precedent set that our military commanders are called to save the day. And so it is for today. We're in the same fix. We've got treason. By any other name, it's still treason within the federal government and most certainly in many state governments. Treason. We've been taken over by the communists. When they can take down your Confederate flags and monuments, that is a way of saying you are a conquered people. It'd be different if the white people in America said, we don't want these monuments around anymore, but that's not who's calling for this. It's the aliens amongst us. Aliens. Those not of our kind. We have been disobedient to our Father, and therefore the chaos that we see around us. If we had been obedient to our Father, these aliens would not be here to annoy us, to be thorns in our sides, as the scripture calls it. Speaking of scripture, Proverbs 29:27 says, an unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, but one whose way is straight, meaning upright, is an abomination to the wicked. So do you see the dichotomy and the separation there? So an unjust man, meaning the wicked, is an abomination to us, the righteous, those who love the Father and obey his law. They are an abomination. But we, on the other hand, the one whose way is straight, we are an abomination to the wicked. Why do we look for approval from those who are our enemies? What do I care what the Jerry Springers or the Rush Limbaughs or the Jimmy Swaggerts, or the John Hagees and the other bought and paid for harlots that we've got out here that are sucking up to Satan's kids? What do we care what they say? What do we care that the media puts out when the media is run by the same people? What do we care comes out of Washington, D.C. and the press corps? They're whores. They are the wicked spoken of in this proverb. They are an abomination to us, if you're a righteous person. Now, some of you aren't. Some of you don't see a problem with any of these abominations going on today. The gay, lesbian, transgender, and whatever bogus name they got for their organization. You got no problem with those folks and their perversion around. You have no problem with the perversion within the Catholic Church. You have no problem with the Jews selling off white women and little children for sex films and snuff films. You don't have a problem with any of that. You don't have a problem with the perversion in Hollywood. Well, guess what? You're not part of the righteous. So you can take your place with the tares. And if you don't know what happens to the tares, you should read the story in the book. It's not a good thing. You're going to have the same thing happen to you that's going to happen to these Zionist pig dog communist Jews here shortly, when the prophet Obadiah in verse 18 made it very clear what their end will be. And so these unrighteous people that are amongst us will share their fate. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, Has Yahweh as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. So Samuel's basically saying that, does our father delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices of innocent animals and crops? Or does he want the sacrifice of obedience to his voice? 1 Samuel 15 is telling us that obedience is better than sacrifice, and listening to our Father as he speaks to us through the Holy Spirit is better than the fat of rams. That's why animal sacrifice and all those offerings that were given in the Old Testament are no longer necessary. Yeshua's coming put an end to that. He said, I'm the final sacrifice. So the requirement of innocent blood didn't go away. It's just that Yeshua provided it once and for all. His innocent blood is sufficient to cover the entire time. I got an article that said that the city of Cincinnati has now made it illegal for anybody in a position of counseling people for their issues to use biblical text, biblical references. They've made it, quote, illegal. And one of the ones that they don't want to hear anymore is this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse 9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, which is those who commit sexual unclean acts, nor idolaters, those who worship everything but Yahweh, nor adulterers, that's your race mixers, nor effeminate, well, we know who those people are, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, Yahshua HaMashiach, and in the spirit of our Elohim God. So that verse is one of the very ones that they particularly don't want. Why? Because they've tried to make the men of our society extremely effeminate. They're pushing race mixing. They're pushing the homosexuals. Nobody understands what thievery is all about. Got a lot of that going on. Most certainly they promote covetousness through the media and the movies. Fornication, oh my God. Drunkenness, swindlers, and revilers, it's all promoted by our Zionist controllers. And now they even are pushing for a law in cities of America, the latest being, of course, Cincinnati, to say that it is, quote, illegal to bring up scripture to counsel people. Is that not a sign of the times? Do you people even understand what's going on as we disintegrate? Do you understand what follows? Do you know why the German army, particularly the German Waffen-SS, fought so hard against the communist invasion? They knew what was coming. As General George S. Patton said, we fought the wrong enemy. As the Royal Canadian Air Force bomber crew member that I interviewed years ago up in Canada told me the same thing. The longer he spent in Germany at the end of the war, the more he realized we fought the wrong enemy. By allowing communists to come in, it was a much greater evil than anything even imagined of the Germans. Not to mention, the longer we're there, they realized that a lot of the things they were told about Hitler and the Germans and the National Socialists just wasn't true. Again, Jewish lies. And any of us that follow the truth movements that are going on today, and Lord knows there's a ton of them because we're being lied to at an alarming rate, realize that the Jew couldn't tell the truth if you put a gun to his head. He really couldn't. It's in his DNA. He's a liar. But then again, we should know that, shouldn't we? Well, those of us that read the Bible should know that, because the words of Christ were exactly that. Ye are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you do. He was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, and so are you. That was Christ talking to the Pharisees, who are the Jews of his day. So if your preacher were telling you the truth, and if you took the time to study yourself, you would understand these things. But you don't, because you don't take the time. You don't get away from your entertainments and your mind-numbing games and cell phones and tablets and video games and movies and all the garbage that you fill your head full of. You don't ever interrupt that stupidity to take the time to study for the truth. But then again, we're approaching the time for the separating of the wheat and the tares, so you go ahead. You keep doing what you're doing. I really don't want to upset you. I don't want to get you involved. You know, you've put off trying to learn about what's happening in this world so long. Why bother now? You can just keep going having fun, because pretty soon you won't be around. Pretty soon you're going to be thrown into the fire, according to the scripture, because you're unfit for the kingdom, as the verse in 1 Corinthians says. And there's other verses that says that those things that offend Yahweh will not be allowed into the kingdom. Well, guess what? You offend him. So, personally, you know, for a long time, I was hoping that everybody would come to their senses and change or repent. But you know what? Maybe the kingdom doesn't want you after all. And by gosh, if Yahweh doesn't want you, I sure as hell don't want you. So you keep fighting and bickering out there. We got plenty of people doing that. I sent a nice email to the author that I talked about his book here about 3-4 programs ago. I sent him an email, and I get this scathing email back because I had forwarded him something that was written by James Wesley Rawls. And again, James Wesley Rawls may be a Trojan horse or a, what do they call him, a gatekeeper. That's very possible. I don't know. But one of the individuals believes that to be true. But anyway, I had forwarded his remarks about their attempting to take our guns, because what he said was true in that particular article, even though he himself does not recognize the true enemy of all of us, which is, of course, the Jew. So I get this scathing email back as if I had written the article. So I'm still trying to figure out if it's an accident, or does he actually believe I should be called all these nasty names simply for forwarding somebody else's material. But it just goes to show you, folks, how do you win a war when people behave like this? You know, that is why the Father warned us about diversity and the enemy tactic of divide and conquer. You see, he said, if you be of one accord, you are invincible. Our people have to learn how to be of one accord. That doesn't mean that we're going to agree on everything. I like to use the fact of my own family as an example of this. When I was growing up, my brother and sister and I would argue and fight about a lot of different things because we were each individuals, and we each had our own individual thoughts and feelings about things. So sometimes we'd fight like cats and dogs. But, you know, we never forgot that we were family. To this day, we're still family. Though we don't agree on everything, we're family. We can hug and we can kiss and we can care about each other and support each other. We're family. Do you understand the concept? Or have our people forgotten the whole concept? Has the Jew been able to destroy the whole notion of family that we don't even know now what that means? Is that possible? As I look around at the society we have today, I'm beginning to believe it is possible. They've been destroying the family unit and the historical family unit of the white man for a couple generations now. Maybe they have removed the vision. You know, the book of Proverbs tells us that my people suffer from a lack of vision. We lack the vision to even visualize what a proper family is. We don't even know anymore. We've been so dismembered. Our family is so dysfunctional. This is really a sad thing to see. Family means a lot. And I'd rather use the word caring instead of love. Love is a misused term. It's got too many Hollywood movies, too many dime store novels about it. It's a out of place term in this day and age, as far as I'm concerned. I'd rather use the word care. Because I've had lots of people in my lifetime tell me they love me and yet screwed me. Either financially or property or tried to ruin my reputation, whatever. There's been plenty of people who said the words, I love you, and then could turn around and do that. So I'd rather not even hear those words. I don't know how you all feel about it, but that's where I'm at. I'd rather have people plain old care about me. Because if you care about somebody, you don't argue with them all the time. You don't get into beating them down with guilt trips or browbeating them with nagging, etc. If you really do care about somebody. So that's kind of where I'm at with our people. We got to learn how to actually care about each other and care about our survival. If you're out there looking for somebody that you're going to agree with 100% of the time, we've lost already. It's not going to happen. Do you think the kings of old had everybody in their kingdom on their side with every issue all the time? Hell no. But they had one thing in common. They were racially a homogeneous unit, so they were of the same blood, the same DNA, same language, same faith, and they agreed that the king was the king. Whether you agreed with everything he said or not, he was the king. And he led them at the head of the army in times of war. None of this crap where our parliamentarians and congressmen and women sit in the hallowed halls of Washington, D.C. or in London, far from the conflict, sending our young men and women out to die in no-win wars so Jews and their compatriots in the financial banking institutions and in the industrial military complex can make money. Because that's what it's all about, people. If you haven't woken up to that yet, go back to sleep because you're dead. You're the walking dead. We don't want you. They don't want you. We don't want you. You're just trash. You're just going to be like cannon fodder. You're just going to be like rocks in a field. You're going to be bowled over and buried because you don't amount to anything. You won't take a stand. So the enemy doesn't even want you. Even if you were to help them, they still don't want you because you don't stand for anything. You have to stand for something, people. Make up your mind what that is. Again, if you think going along with these antichrists is going to buy you some time, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're the first people they throw under the bus. You're the very first people they get in big bundles and take them and put them up against walls and shoot them. If you don't know that that's the truth, you haven't studied what they did to the Russian men, women, and children by the tens of millions, these Zionist dogs. Yahweh's given you a chance and a warning. Do you understand that Eurofolk and TalkShoe and Blog Talk and all that, these are ways the Father's allowed the watchman to give you a warning. If you do not heed that warning, shame on you. Shame on you. You should be preparing for what's coming because anybody with a brain that functions can see it's coming. They are going to try to disarm us. There is no doubt about that. They've made it very clear if you watch the propaganda. if you've watched the staged events and what they're all saying is the cause of the staged event, those events are staged events. That's why they have the speeches already made that they come out and proclaim who the perpetrator was. And isn't it interesting? The perpetrators almost always are destroyed. They're killed. They don't ever, no opportunity for cross-examination, no opportunity to do an investigation. Isn't that convenient? So that tells you what they're planning on doing. So for me, that's the spark. For years, I've said there'll be a spark that will ignite the second revolution. And it'll be the same spark that our forefathers had ignite the flames of liberty back in 1776. Same spark. They're going to try to disarm us because the only legitimate reason to disarm us is that they plan to enslave us. They don't care about our safety. They care about their safety. A disarmed populace cannot defend itself. Just go ask the Russians how that feels, watching your children or your wife being butchered and raped in front of you, and then finally you are nailed to the side of a barn to hang there and die in the freezing cold. That's what the Zionist commissar Bolshevik Jews did to the Russian people. That's what they got planned to do to you too. Because that's just what they are. Bloodthirsty pack animals out for blood. Shame on you, with all this information, with the internet and all the books and all the testimony about what these people have done to the Russians and to other people on this planet, the warnings of people like General George S. Patton, Douglas MacArthur, Congressman McFadden, Charles Lindbergh Jr., Henry Ford, the list goes on and on and on of the people who warned you about what was coming. Shame. Shame on you. Shame on us if we don't prepare and when the time is right, stand up and fight. Now remember, they're going to try to create confusion. I don't know how they're going to do it. I don't have a crystal ball, but they will try to at least impede the ability to communicate so that we will not know what other people are doing. You know that's what they're going to do. So what do you think the response of the Israelites should be? The answer is, I will do exactly the same thing whether I can communicate with anybody else or not. My rifle squad or my platoon or my battalion, my company, whatever size the group is that you belong to, has the same job to do, whether you can communicate with others across the country or not. You know who the people are. They've been labeled for you. The terrors have been identified. It's pretty easy to pick them out. So when they come with these aliens that are amongst us, or they come with our own people that are traitors to the people of the United States, you'll have a clear sign of what's next. It's time to fight. You fight any way and every way that Yahweh makes available to you. It's the only thing that's left. Identify your enemies and take them out, because they'll do it to you. That's for sure. They've made no mistake as to what their intentions are. None. In fact, some of their writings, they brag about what they plan on doing to you and your family. So when these heathens, when these tyrants, when these traitors and their sycophants come to disarm you, it'll be exactly as it was in Lexington all those many years ago. It'll be time to start the fireworks. Now, they're going to put a whole lot of propaganda out there, and they've been doing it for some time to make it look like they've got all this high-tech stuff, and they're going to be able to find all of us and round us up and put us in camps and do all this other stuff. Really? Well, how about you go for it, and we'll see what happens. We'll see who the last man standing is. Because I really don't care what you've got planned, because I've read the book. I know what the Father's got planned for you. I'll trust the Father. I don't want to think about my own understanding or my own perceptions or my own misgivings. That's me in flesh, which is weak. I'll put my faith in the Father. I'll put my faith in honesty and integrity. I'll put my faith in the same things that our founding fathers put it into. Honor and duty. And then let Yahweh himself take care of the rest. Because, you know, the Russian people lamented the fact that had they taken a stand, they could have easily overthrown the Bolsheviks. Easily. And then taken them out and hung them from the highest tree as they should have been. Every one of them, Bolshevik, Jew, communist bastards, should have been drug out into a field and shot or hung in a tree. And then Russia would never have suffered under that regime for all those years and all those tens upon tens of millions of innocent men, women, and children would not have suffered and died. Terrible, terrible deaths. Instead, the Jew in Hollywood wants you to think that Adolf Hitler and the National Socialists were to be feared when nothing could be further from the truth. Well, they had to be feared, all right. They had to be feared by the Jew because the German army was determined that communism would not survive. And therefore, since communism is a Jewish invention, rightfully so, the Jew should have been afraid of the National Socialists. But you and I, as free white men? No, never. It's a time for a separating, folks, and it's a time for you to get on your knees and have a very serious conversation with the Father and figure out just where the hell you're going to stand. Which side of that fence are you going to be on? The one to defend honesty, integrity, innocence, our homeland, our people, our race? Or are you going to be on the other side with the tares, defending multiculturalism and diversity, which are all forms of divide and conquer by your enemy? They're not real. And if they were real, how come the very people promoting it don't practice it in their own countries? Go to Israel and see if there's much diversity there. Go to Zimbabwe and see who's in charge there, or Rhodesia. Go to South Africa. Go to Sierra Leone. Go to Libya. Go to any of these other countries. Your enemy wants you to think that race doesn't matter. I got news for you. Race has always mattered. It will always matter as long as this is a creation of our Heavenly Father. The book he left us, the scriptures, are filled with his abhorrence of race mixing. And yet, like the Pied Piper and the Lemmings, you Lemmings just go about your daily life and violate God's law left and right, thinking there's no consequence to pay. How silly is that? So now the treason in the southern states by your elected officials in allowing Confederate monuments to be removed and Confederate flags from monuments and from state capitals, etc., that's an abomination. That's an abomination. That's your enemy letting you know that you're now a conquered territory and that they're in charge. That's exactly what that is. Shame on us for allowing that to happen. Again, make no mistake about it. The attempt to disarm us is coming. I'm still trying to figure out if Vladimir Putin is the man of the hour or not. But I will say one thing. Whatever's going on in Russia, they are far more on the high ground, morally speaking, than we are, by far. By far. They're going towards more of the true faith in the land than we are here. They got no problem with military, high-ranking military and government officials showing their faith in public, while here the Jew is stripping it away. David talked about the fact that they're going to be the world's leading exporter of GMO-free food, which means more real food instead of this garbage that these Jewish-run corporations produce here in America. It's all about the money. It's all the Jew ever cares about is the money. He doesn't care about the fact that there's no nutrition in that food or very little nutrition. He doesn't care about the carcinogens he uses on the weeds and the GMO, the high fructose corn syrup, the dyes, the chemicals, the sugars. He doesn't care as long as he makes money. You got to remember, money is the Jewish God. And if you tell me Yahweh's their God, you are just a complete retard. I'm sorry. They do not worship our Father. They only put on a pretense to sucker you. If they did worship our Father, they wouldn't do what they do. Because as Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. They are not his sheep, not even close. We are well past the time that these liberal communist Zionist dogs should be rounded up and shipped the hell out of our country, along with every other alien we've got flooding into here. I heard an interview on one of the radio shows that Eurofolk Radio was rebroadcasting where Frosty Wooldridge, which is a friend of mine, and he runs the website Numbers USA, and Frosty is probably one of the leading advocates of a moratorium on immigration, and he has all the facts and figures about the detrimental effects of all these aliens coming in amongst us. And it's kind of interesting. Recently, I told that fellow I met that was a SOD man in the Army, I told him about our immigration up until 1965 was a very commonsensical one. We had about 187,000 people come into the United States. And when I asked Frosty in the interview why that strange number, where did they come up with 187,000? How did they figure that? He said it was simple, because that's how many people left the United States. So immigration was always tied to be equal to the number of people leaving the United States. So immigration was never to affect the overall population. If it grew very slowly, and the infrastructure would grow slowly with it to take care of it. We were never designed. It was never the intention that our borders would be wide open. Not until the Jew pig dog Jacob Javits and his pig dog Jewish cabal got a hold of it, along with the Kennedy, Ted Kennedy, the pig dog that he is as well. And they dismantled our immigration policy. Shame on our ancestors for not realizing the Jew should never, ever been allowed to have any sort of power in this country. Ever. They shouldn't own anything. They shouldn't have any banks, be associated with any banking. They should be associated with no government office. They should hold no government office. In fact, if we'd listened to Benjamin Franklin and George Washington, they would never have been allowed to get off a boat and set their foot on this soil. Our founding fathers didn't want these creatures, these animals, these destroyers to come to this nation and do to the new world what they had done to the old world in Europe. They knew what these people are. And actually, they're not even people. They're aliens. They're not of this human race. They are aliens. The Apostle John, in his writings in the Greek language, even ascribes the words in the Greek language that says that they were an alien race. And it was the words and belief of Christ that they were aliens. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the lying Jew? Or are you going to believe Christ in the scriptures? Of course, you could be going to a Judeo-Christian church, in which case, God have mercy on your soul. Because you're not going to hear the truth there. Their ignoramus is just as bad as everybody else. We have a choice today, folks. God's law or chaos. It's really as simple as that. You're either going to love the Father and implement his law, or you are going to continue to see the chaos. Not only will it not go down, it will escalate in the near future. That's just where we are. Unbelievable. Now, I wanted to read that article to you about the journalist admitting. I mentioned him only as a German journalist in a previous broadcast, but I found his name in something that was sent to me today, so I'll read a little portion of it here. It says, top journalist admits mainstream media is completely fake. Now, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly or not, but it says Dr. Udo, U-D-O, Ulfkott, U-L-F-K-O-T-T-E, is a top German journalist and editor and has been for more than two decades. For you public school people, that's 20 years. So you can bet he knows a thing or two about mainstream media and what really happens behind the scenes. The doctor said the aim of much of the deception was to drive nations toward war. Here's a quote. I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public. But seeing right now, within the last months, how the German and American media tries to bring war to the people in Europe, to bring war to Russia, this is a point of no return, and I'm going to stand up and say it's not right. What I have done in the past, to manipulate people, to make propaganda against Russia, and it is not right what my colleagues do and have done in the past, because they are bribed to betray the people, not only in Germany, but all over Europe. End quote. Dr. Ulfkott says the corruption of journalists and major news outlets by the CIA is routine, accepted, and widespread in the Western media, and that journalists who do not comply either cannot get jobs at any news organization or find their careers cut short. Dr. Ulfkott is the author of a book currently available only in German, Bot Journalists. It was produced by Kopp Publishers in 2014. Aged 55, he was also once an advisor to the government of the German Chancellor, Helmut Kohl. The book has become a bestseller in Germany, but in a bizarre twist, which Ulfkott says characterizes the disconnect caused by CIA control of the Western media, the book cannot be reported on. Imagine that. Ulfkott says he is better positioned to come forward than many journalists because he does not have children who could be threatened. Ulfkott told the Russian newspaper The Russian Insider, or RI, Ulfkott says that remorse of having lied to mass audiences over the years drove him to come forward. He told RI that he was taught to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public. I am ashamed I was part of it. Unfortunately, I cannot reverse this. Among the admissions that Ulfkott makes in the interview are putting his own name to articles completely written by intelligence agencies. Now, wait a minute. Intelligence agencies. Isn't that an oxymoron? Quote, I ended up publishing articles under my own name written by agents of the CIA and other intelligence services, especially the German Secret Service. Wolfcott detailed the patterns of cajolery and outright bribery used by the CIA and other U.S. allied intelligence agencies for the purpose of advancing political agendas. Wolfcott noted that a journalist's English isn't as good as it should be, noted that a journalist on international press trips paid for by organizations close to the government are unlikely to submit a storyline not favorable to the sponsor. Of the gassing of Iranians he had witnessed in the 80s, Wolfcott said, they asked me to hand over the photos that I had made to the German Association of Chemical Companies in Frankfurt, Verband der Chemischen Industrie. This poison gas that had killed so many Iranians was made in Germany. In an interview with Russia Today, Wolfcott said that it was, quote, not right what he had done, and that his fear was that politicians were actively driving the world towards war. Several other reporters have also spilt the beans. Investigative journalist and former CBC News reporter Cheryl Atkinson delivered a hard-hitting TEDx talk showing how fake grassroots movements funded by political, corporate, or other special interests very effectively manipulate and distort media messages. Then the article goes on to talk about some other people coming out and everything else. So here again, they verify what we've said on these radio programs many times. The media cannot be trusted. They are whores. They are in the bed with these corporations, in the bed with government. They're in bed with the Jews at all levels. And most of these major media companies are owned by Jews to begin with. So they're not worthy of being trusted just for that reason. And now you also find out that many of our intelligence agencies have been usurped because Jews have migrated to upper levels in many of the intelligence agencies. Excuse me. And that's just the fact. I remember when Time Magazine, this was years ago, when Schultz was, I think it was CIA, it might have been NSA or CIA, but they had Schultz on the front cover as the director, and the two people just below him in leadership of this intelligence agency, one of them was a Jewish man, the other was a Jewish woman. So the top three people in this particular intelligence agency, all three of them were Jews. And that was years ago on Time Magazine. So what did that tell you, folks? Do you think it's gotten any less usurped in the 10 to 15 years since I saw that article? I spoke to an officer that worked in the Pentagon one day. He was a Christian, white individual. And he said he worked at the Pentagon. I just looked at him and I said, ooh. I said, I'll bet that's a scary place. And he just looked at me. His eyes got as big as silver dollars. And he said, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is a scary place. I said, how do you deal with it? I didn't come out and tell him about the Jewish part of it. I just said, how do you deal with the corruption? How do you deal with the lies and deceptions that that organization puts upon the American people? He said, a few of us try to make as much of a difference as we can possibly make. A few of us. A few of us try to make a difference. Now this doctor, this journalist in Germany has taken a stand. He's done what Yahweh has talked about. Can he repent and now be worthy of the kingdom? Absolutely. That's what he's talking about. One man. Who decides that I'm not going to go the way of the goats. I'm not going to go the way of the antichrists. I'm not going to go the way of the heathen and the unrighteous with lies and deception that causes so much misery and death in this world. I'm not going to go that way. And is that going to make a difference when a guy with his credentials stands up? It sure as hell is. Now, will one guy making that decision change this world instantly? No, but it's an accumulative thing. As more and more people do it, it encourages the others. That's what the enemy hates. They don't want us to know that that's going on. But it is. That's why their paranoia is growing daily. The Jew is the most paranoid race on this planet. His paranoia drives him to do some of the dumbest things even imaginable. And I'll guarantee you, a good case in point is Rebecca Roth exposing the 9/11 lie and deception, because when you tear it apart, it looks like imbeciles put that thing together. Amateurs. Well, that's because the Jews were in a hurry. They hurriedly put it together because the Jew has such a low opinion of you and me, they don't think we'll ever figure it out. We've created that in them because we've believed their BS for so long. They now think they can virtually put anything on the screen and the retards will believe it. That's the height of their arrogance. Of course, Yahweh told us that's what would happen because he said their vanity will be their undoing. Their vanity. There is no greater vanity on this planet than that is expressed by Jews. They believe themselves to be the masters of the world and the only ones worthy of it, and the rest of us are just useless eaters here to serve their purposes. Well, the goyim are waking up, Jews. The goyim are waking up. Your paranoia, you think it was bad up till now. Pretty soon you're going to have a reason to be paranoid. You haven't really had a reason up till now, but soon you will have. Your days are numbered. Those of us that have been waiting and waiting and praying, it seems like an eternity. But the Father knows. And it's the Father's plan, not your diabolical and demented plan that's going to succeed. It's the plan from the beginning that Father talked about, and he allowed the prophets to tell us about. Those of us that are his true children, we understand what's going to happen. We'll just wait. We'll be given the sign. As he said, my coming will be as the lightning flashing from the east to the west. So shall it be at the second coming. There's some people saying his second coming's already happened. I'm not sure where they're getting that information from, but so be it. So be it. All I know is he said it would be as in the days of Noah, which is exactly what we're seeing, and that our people will be rising above the punishment and the destruction that he'll bring on the wicked, as Noah and his family did. That's all that matters to me. And just as it was very plain to Noah what he had to do, you and I will be told exactly what we have to do. And if we're diligent to do what Yahweh directs us to do, we don't have to worry about anything. I don't care what the enemy's doing. I really don't. It saddens me that innocent people are hurt and all these sham staged events go on, and sometimes people actually do get hurt. They're not all actors. Some of these things actually are happening, but they're all staged. They're all part of the agenda. They're all part of the play. Does that make me happy? Absolutely not. I don't want to see any innocent person suffer. I want to see my enemies suffer, and the enemies of Christ suffer, absolutely, but not innocent people. But unfortunately, some people bring this upon themselves. They really do. Father says, I'm at the door knocking, but you have to open and let me in. Unfortunately, he's knocking on some people's doors, and they're just hell-bent on going their way. They don't care about truth. They don't care about justice. They just want to keep having a good old time. As they said, they're partying hardy as the Titanic is sinking. Well, let them go. The rest of us are preparing our lifeboats. And it's unfortunate, but we're going to lose friends and relatives and loved ones. But that's the way it is. That's the plan. Father knew that there would be people like that. They just don't care. Just don't let it be you. The people that are listening to this program and hear my voice, don't let it be you. Make a difference. Take a stand. Get ready. Because our day's coming. Trust me. Scripture says that our hands will be so sore and stiff from wielding the sword in that day. That's figurative, of course. It could be my fingers and hands are sore from pulling the trigger on an M16 rifle. Could be my hands are sore from taking a sword and slicing and dicing the enemies of Christ. What difference does it make what it actually ends up being? It's the image, the allegory that you should be getting. And unfortunately, I have a slight cold and my throat is about ready to give out. Okay, I didn't get any messages. So, and we've got just a little bit more time. That's pretty much all I wanted to share with you tonight is the idea, again, that the wheat and the tares are going to be separated here pretty soon. And you need to figure out which side of that fence you're going to end up on, folks. You really do. And don't allow your fears, your phobias to get in the way. Fear and phobia is a sign of weakness and lack of faith. It really is. Trust the Father. He loves you. And no, you're not perfect. Guess what? None of us are. None of us are. He's not after us because we're perfect. King David wasn't a perfect man, but he was perfect in his righteousness, which is his faith. Undying faith in the Father. Undying love for the Father. That's what sets you apart. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together and share. We thank you for the Eurofolk Radio and the different hosts that are there and the different information that's going out around the world. We pray it reaches the people that you would have it go to, that they might awaken to the truth of what's going on. We ask that you, Father, would send the Holy Spirit to administer to us and help give us good discernment, especially in this world that is so full of lies and propaganda and deception. It's everywhere. Help us to tune that out, Father, and focus on you. Focus on each other, our family. And Father, take away our egos and our bitterness towards one another over trivial matters. Take that away. Let us understand that we're family, for crying out loud. And start acting like it, please. We pray for your kingdom come and for you to come and sit upon the throne, Father. We don't desire it. We do not want to be the rulers of this world. That is your domain. You're the only one worthy. All we're asking, Father, is that you do it quickly. Please. We're so tired of seeing the misery and the suffering that this world has been put through by these absolutely demonic creatures that have risen to the top. May they be truly cut down as you say they will be in Obadiah. And as it says in the parable of the wheat and the tares, may the tares be bundled up and destroyed and burned so that they may not menace this poor world ever again. We ask these in the name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. Hallelujah.
with spear and sword in their hand. People from far away land made their home here. The Astartes did battle them so. They were a terrible foe, knowing no fear. I close my eyes, I look deep inside, and I see them again. Pictures disguise, fire in their eyes, like stars in the sky, the painted men. They ruled from forth to Caithness, Shetland and into the west for many a year. Naked in battle they go, in wind and in rain and in snow, they knew no fear. Their place in the sun, their pain and their fun, second to none, the painted men. Yeah.
in God we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore. American Revolution.
Rout all those traitors right out of our system.
Second American.